భవతి సమ్మోహః
క్రోధః భవతి సమ్మోహః
సమ్మోహాకృతి విభ్రమః క్రోధాత్ భవతి సమ్మోహః సమ్మోహాకృతి విభ్రమః భ్రంశాత్ బుద్ధి నాశః బుద్ధి నాశాత్ ప్రణశ్యతి స్మృతి భ్రంశాత్ బుద్ధి నాశః బుద్ధి నాశాత్ ప్రణశ్యతి సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ క్లాస్ వి సా ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక జాయతో విషయాన్ పుంస సంగస్థేషు ఉపజాయతే సంగాత్సం జాయతే కామ కామ క్రోధో వి జాయతే. సో బై రిపీటెడ్ థింకింగ్ ధ్యానం జాయతే మీన్స్ రిపీటెడ్ థింకింగ్ హియర్ బై ధ్యానం దెన్ యూ గెట్ అసోసియేషన్ టు ఈ విషయ ది సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ and because of association you develop desire kama and because of kama again you get krodha or anger. That is how the evolution was. So dhyanam, then sankam, then kamaha, and then anger. Now today in this sloka Krishna further elaborates the same things again. Krodha sammoha sammohaha bhavati, krodha bhavati sammohaha. From krodha, from anger, sammoha, sammoha means delusion. Delusion actually it's like a blackout. The mind just blacks out. Sammoha, delusion. For example, an angry person, he is temporarily a mad person only. For all practical purposes, temporarily an angry man is only a madman. He doesn't know what he is doing. He just talks, he just, you know, puts out things, he can do everything. Because even the most wonderful people, he may be a great person in so many other respects, a great officer, whatever it is he is. But when it comes to anger, at the grip of anger, he doesn't know what he is doing. He behaves in a very, very, very indecent manner also sometimes. So when they get angry, a person, you cannot imagine how they can behave. Because they lose themselves, they are temporarily a mad person. They behave like that. Actually, Adi Shankaracharya says, the angry man, what he does? Gurumati akshitadihi. Gurumati, even to his teacher, who teaches dharma to him, even to this teacher, he will talk to him as if he is the controller of everything. Akshipatihi. And matramati tadayati. Even to his mother, he will even beat the mother. In anger, he doesn't even know what he is doing. Because this, he is like a drunkard. The person behaves like that. So even he can fire the teacher and beat the mother, then he is in the grip of anger. Such lowly he can become. Why? Sammoha. Delusion. That's the reason. That means his viveka shakti, the discriminative ability, is blunted completely at the time when he is in the grip of anger. And sammoha smriti vibramaha. Sammoha smriti vibramaha. From delusion, sammoha, all the values, the dharma, the adharma, good, bad, all those things, they are all completely forgotten. He doesn't know what is dharma, adharma. He doesn't know what is good and bad. Smriti here means jnana. Smriti vibramaha. Smriti means jnana. Here it is dharma, adharma, jnana. Or it is atmanatma jnana also, one can say. So all the scriptural values, the values of life, they are all forgotten by this guy. He just forgets them. And sammoha, smriti vibramaha, forgetfulness of all the values, all the teachings, all the good qualities, everything is forgotten. Vibramaha means losing. He is losing them. Smriti again refers to jnana. So he is jnana pramshaha. Jnana pramshaha means the one who loses all this jnana, all this knowledge. But this is only a temporary phenomenon. As long as he is in the grip of anger, only this happens. The moment he comes out of anger, he is a great person. You may not even tell, oh, this guy, did he behave like that? You see a lot of people like that. In the grip of anger, they are like mad. But once they come out of anger, they are very good people. No problem at all. When he is angry, only he is deluded. Other times, person can be extremely good. But Krishna says, even at this stage, you can get out. Even at this stage, there is chance for you to escape. You don't have to get even more drawn into this. At this time also, you can, before this becomes a permanent thing in you, you can still get out if you would like to. So, but what happens, even though this is possible, Smriti Bramsha, what happens to him when it is all continuing like this? Buddhi Nashaha. Buddhi Nashaha. The intellect completely loses its power of discrimination. Viveka Shakti is lost for this person. No more temporary phenomenon it is. It has become permanent. For this person, the damage is permanent. His intellect is as good as useless. Because Viveka Shakti is gone. He is permanently, he is a person who is, he is not permanently. He is becoming almost a lunatic, permanently. So, when the discriminative power is gone, for all practical purposes, this person is what? Only an animal. What is the difference between human and animal? Animal and man, the only distinguishing factor is discriminative ability. That is lost. Once that is lost, for all practical purposes, he is only an animal. Even the feeling of guilt does not come to him anymore. At least earlier, he thought, oh, I got angry with my wife, I should not have. So I lost myself. He might have had that feeling of guilt for some time. Now, when this has become habituated in him, even the feeling of guilt is not there anymore in this person, and it completely goes away. So, a beautiful human being who can become God on earth, a person like that, what happens? He is reduced to a mere animal. That is what he becomes when he goes through this entire cycle. Okay, what is the reason for all this? The first thought was not erased. The first simple thought, that was when it was feeble thought that came into the mind, that was not erased, that was not brushed away, that was not destroyed. The entire thing grew to such an extent, a person who could be a very glorified human being, a god on earth, is reduced to a mere animal. So Krishna says, buddhi nashat pranashyati. Pranashyati. Then it is the destruction of human life. He may be existing as a frame. A frame, 6 feet, 200 pounds, that may exist. But spiritually, that person is as good as a dead person. So he is pranashyati. He is almost. So once I have become an animal, it is as good as the destruction of the human life. So then he becomes an animal as good as a district. So it's a wonderful opportunity that is lost in this janma. Human janma is very difficult to get. Durlabham prayamevatate. What are the three things which are durlabham? Manushyatvam. To become a human being. It is very, very, very rare. Then mumukshutvam. A person to crave that I want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. I want to gain moksha. And mahapurusha samshrayaha. To have association of good people, sadhus, nice people. These three things do not come by themselves. One should have done a lot of punya together. So this guy got that opportunity. He was born a human being, but he just lost that. So pranashyati, he perishes. Here by Krishna, by destruction, Krishna means not the physical destruction, but the spiritual destruction of that person. He is no more a human being. So, as a man, he can spiritually grow, but as an animal, that growth is impossible. So, that is what he becomes to. Or because of what? That first thought was not kept. That is still lecture. So, Shankaracharya, he writes that he becomes Purushartha Ayogyaha Bhavati. Purushartha Ayogyaha. What is Purushartha? Dharma Artha Kama Mosha is Purushartha. For this person, he becomes Ayogyaha. He is ineligible to gain any purushartas. So purushartha, when he is not eligible to get, he is not a purusha anymore. So he is only an animal. So only in the next human birth perhaps, he has to wait. We don't know when that is going to ever happen. If at all it happens, then he has another chance perhaps. Otherwise this birth is gone, this birth is wasted. Okay. Therefore shamaha. Shamaha is control of mind. You should have control of your mind, Arjuna. That is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Rāgat-vesha-viyukta-istu Vishayānindriya-iścaran Rāgat-vesha-viyukta-istu Vishayānindriya-iścaran Rāgat-vesha-viyukta-istu Atma Vashyevideyatma Atma Vashyevideyatma prasadamadi gacchati
prasadamadi gacchati prasadamadi gacchati
atma vashye videyatma prasadamadi gacchati
atma vashye videyatma prasadamadi gacchati atma vashye videyatma prasadamadi gacchati.
So what should one do then? First, one should be careful with all the sense organs, all the sense objects. One should exercise dhamma, sense control. One should do that first, wherever it is possible. We cannot totally avoid it, as I told last time, we cannot totally avoid it, but wherever it is possible, one should be able to control the sense organs. They are for using for life, how we have to use them in our life. We should use them only for those purposes. Whichever thing that is not necessary for the life, you should not get drawn by the sense objects and sense organs. Then take care of your mind, shama. So dhamma is first and then shama. When dhamma is not possible, mind is ever alert. For example, wherever dhamma is not possible, when you are walking on the street, all these masala dosas are struggling. You cannot do anything about it. You cannot go and shut up this shop. So it is going to come. But when that is there, so it is going to enter in your nose, in your mind, in your ears, all that. At that time, control the mind. Make sure, do not turn there. So, mind control should be there. That is what is said in this loka. Vishayan indriyaihi charanam. May you perceive those inevitable sense objects. Make use of them. Whenever there is inevitable sense objects are there, you make use of them. Charan. Charan means perceiving. Perceiving. Making use of them. With the sense organs, with the sense indriyaihi. Vishayan indriyaihi charanam. So with the use of sense organs, make use of them. How? Raga dvesha viyuktaihi. How should you make use of them? Being totally free from raga and dvesha. Raga dvesha viyuktaihi. Let the sense organs not be backed by the problems of raga dvesha. Sense organs, when you are using them, let it not be backed by raga dvesha. Do not become a slave to them. Do not become a slave to them. Raga is attachment. Do not become a slave. It can create actually disturbance in the mind. Because the moment you get attached, it always causes disturbance in the mind. More I am attached, more will I worry, more tension I will have. So the extent of worry is what? Directly proportional to the extent of attachment. How much one is attached, so much worry. Because the fear of losing that, it's going to create problem. I may use it, but I should not become a slave to it. That should be the criteria. I can use any object, no problem. But when it is not there, I should not become a slave to it and it is fair. And then think, oh, I have lost everything. That should not be the case. So without that, everything is available, we can use it. Good comfort, good bed, air conditioning, everything, no problem. Make use of them. But if they are not there, do not curse the world. Nothing is lost. There are so many people who are leading their life without any of this. No problem at all. There is no air conditioning in so many places. They are all still living. Nothing is wrong. So one should have that attitude. So if available, nothing wrong in using them. We are not telling you should not use them. You can use them, no problem at all. But when it is not there, do not be a slave to it. So never form raga, never form attachment for anything. Always one door, one foot should be where? Outside that door. One foot should be always outside the door. You should be able to quit everything and just leave. No problem, nothing is lost. One should have that attitude. So vishayan indriyacharanya. Whatever is available, make use of that. No problem at all. But raja dvesha, we taste through. We prepare to be without them. Make use of them. If they are not there, nothing is wrong. Nothing is lost. And how to control that? Atma vashyehi. By bringing the sense organs under the control of the mind. Bring the sense organs under the control of the mind. When sense organs get drawn somewhere, mind should pull it back. Hey, don't go there. Turn this side. That is what the mind's problem is. So, and videyatma. Videyatma means a person of self, in the previous thing, atma vashyehi, vashya means control. Under the control, vashya. So, atma means here mind, not satchidananda atma, but mind. So, videyatma, a person of self-control, videyatma, prasadam adhigacchati. What he does? He enjoys peace of mind. A person of mind control, a person of self-control, he enjoys peace of mind. That is the reward. Reward is peace of mind, the shanti. That's what he is getting. What a wonderful advice it is, you know. Very, very practical for everybody, right? Very simple advice, practical advice, no problem. Only we have to remember it every time. Somebody asked me, all the time, we are pacemaker. So we can be attached to so many things, no problem. The entire environment has so many things, attractions, no problem at all. You can be in the midst of all those, but nothing will affect us. Because mind is under control. So actually in the Kathopanishad, there is a very, very beautiful analogy. It says, Atmanam Ratinam Vitti. Ratinam Shariram Ratalevacha. Buddhim to Sarathim Vitti. Manat Pragrahamevacha. Indriyani Hayanahuhum. Vishayanskeshu Gocharanam. Atma Indriya Mano Yuktam. Bokte Tyaguhum. Manishinaha. Body is compared to a chariot. Body is compared to a chariot. And the sense organs, five sense organs are the five horses. So this body is drawn by those horses. The sense organs, they cross. As the horse cross the chariot, the sense organs cross. And the horses to be controlled, they have to be controlled, right? What is controlling them? The reins. The reins are controlling the horses. And what is the mind? Shama. Shama is the one that controls them. So Shama is with the reins. It is controlling them. And what will happen? If the chariot is not controlled, the horses will draw it in any direction it wants. It can go and follow it somewhere. And who is to hold the rein? Somebody has to hold the rein, right? Buddhim tu sarathim viddhi. The intelligence, the viveka shakti, that is the one that is holding the rein, buddhi. And if this is there, then the life chariot will go smoothly to the destination you want that to go. Otherwise, it will go to any destination. It will go anywhere. But the one who has controlled mind and sense, controlled the mind and sense organs, he will reach the destination of his choice. Not the horse's choice, but his choice. The same idea is given here. Atmavashyehi. Atmavashyehi means horses under the control of the reins. Horses are in control again of the reins. The sense, the mind, here, Atma refers to mind, as I told you earlier. So, mind itself is controlled by what? Buddhi. Mind is controlled. So, the horses, the sense organs are controlled by the mind, and the mind itself is controlled by the buddhi. Buddhi, why buddhi? Because when temptation comes, the buddhi should instruct the mind, don't get tempted. So, buddhi instructs the mind, don't get, because the temptation will come and draw the person away. So the buddhi should tell the mind not to get tempted. Videyatma, a person of such self-control, prasadam adhikachati, he attains peace of mind. Prasadam is peace of mind. Adhikachati, he attains them because he is not a slave to anyone. Because his goal is moksha, not any of the sense vishayas. He is not interested in any of them. His goal is moksha ultimately. So ragam and dvesha, dvesha is hatred. Are both negated. Raga and Jesha both are negated. Any situation comes, I accept. No problem. I have no attachment to them, I have no hatred for them also. Any situation comes, I can accept. When they are not there too, no problem. If there is a situation which is not congenial, no problem also. I just accept them. If there is no fan, okay, it may sweat. It's all right, so on. There are so many people without fans. Doesn't matter. It is not the end of the world. Okay, that's what they think. This is called prasadam. Prasadam means tranquility, or shanti, or peace of mind, adhigachati, he attains them. Then what happens? Prasade sarva dukkhanam.
Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Prasade sarva dukkhanam.
Anirasyo pajayate.
Anirasyo pajayate. Anirasyo pajayate.
Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Hanirasyo pajayate.
Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Hanirasyo pajayate. Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Hanirasyo pajayate.
Prasanna chetaso hyashu.
Prasanna chetaso hyashu. Prasanna chetaso hyashu.
Buddhi paryavatishtate.
Buddhi paryavatishtate. Buddhi paryavatishtate.
Prasanna chetaso hyashu. Buddhi paryavatishtate.
Prasanna chetaso hyashu. Buddhi paryavatishtate. Prasanna chetaso hyashu. Buddhi paryavatishtate.
So what is the advantage of Shama and Dama? Sense, mind control and self control. That topic is continued in this sloka. Prasade, prasade, when the prasadam we said is tranquility in the previous sloka. Prasade, when the mind is tranquil, when the mind is undisturbed by the gain and loss of things. When the mind is undisturbed by the gain and loss of things, sarva dukkhanam hanihi jayate. Sarva dukkhanam hanihi, all pains, sorrows in life, they will go away. So sarva dukkhanam hanihi jayate. Why? Because all sorrows are what? Are nothing but mental disturbance only. Every sorrow is nothing but mental disturbance only. A big depression is nothing but what? Is a thought in the mind only. A big depression is only a thought in the mind. That is why when some person, some great tragedy happened somewhere, somebody died. Till the news comes to you, nothing happened. Somebody died. The death itself did not cause any problem to us. When the news reaches us, the moment news comes to me, then only all worries, everything comes. Oh my God, this person is gone, so close to me, is gone, all those things come. So the death itself is not causing any problem. But the news that brings the death to me, that only has caused all the problems to me. Right? And to that. So tragedy itself has not affected the person. It affects only when the news comes. For example, after some time somebody says, no, that's the wrong news. The person did not die, he's alive. Then at that time again, well, he's very happy. The person who was so unhappy a moment ago becomes instantly happy in the news because the news has come. So both because, not because of the death itself, because of the news that came in. That only made this person either happy or unhappy. All play of the mind. The moment news comes, mind reacts. So all play of the mind only. The greatest frustration, the worst anger, terrible depression are all what? Mind. Are all disturbances of the mind. That is why everybody wants to suppress what? The mind. You want to suppress the mind always. Because that's the problem. They don't know how to stop the thought. It comes. So they want to suppress it. Put a lid on that. So they take to drugs, they take to alcohol, they do all these things because they don't have to control the mind. To suppress it, they go for other aims, all other instruments they go through. So they will not be able to control the thought because they have not controlled the first thought. They are not able to control this thought because they have not controlled the first thought. So nth thought can never be controlled. Very difficult. If the first thought is not controlled. Therefore, all pains in life are nothing but thought build-up only. All pains in life are nothing but thought build-up only. With whose cooperation? My cooperation. My own cooperation, I fan the thought. I allow that to build up. With one. So we dig our own grave. That's what we are really doing. So if the mind is not allowed to have unnecessary thought build-up about future, for example, you know, who will die first? There are problems. A lot of people have all these worries. Who will die first? Where two people will disclose the age? Who will die first? Whether husband will die first? Wife will die first? All worries. If she dies first, who will take care of me? Or if he dies first, who will take care of me? All these worries are out there. They are all unnecessary worry. About it, you have no control. Who can control who dies first? Nobody can control. So it's an unnecessary worry. Anytime the first negative thought comes, pluck it off. If such a thought comes, pluck it off. That is the only method. So prasade sarva dukkhanam hanihi asya upajayate. Of course, that will give peace of mind, but that is not the main topic here. We have to understand that. We are in which topic? Siddha prajna topic. So we are not free from worry topic. Siddha prajna topic what? So here, firm knowledge. Siddha prajna is what? Firm knowledge. That is the knowledge. Knowledge, whatever knowledge we have, should be a firm knowledge. So Krishna says, only when the mind is tranquil, when the mind is peaceful, Vedanta can be assimilated. Because for somebody to prajna, to become Siddha prajna, we found what the conditions were. So Vedanta, if it has to get into the mind should be tranquil first. Okay? Otherwise, Vedanta will stand somewhere and worry will continue to be entertained. So they will be totally disconnected. That's what will happen. So Krishna says, prasanna chetasaha, for a person whose mind is undisturbed by the situations of life. Prasanna chetasaya. Chetasaya means thoughts. So prasanna, all the situations don't affect him. Buddhihi. Buddhihi means here prajna, self-knowledge. Buddhi refers to self-knowledge. Paryava tishtate gets firmly established. So this knowledge gets firmly established in such a person. Because when the mind is disturbed, how can knowledge can get settled in the mind? You can have a self, because mind is disturbed. Can never get settled at all. It is like monkey planting a tree and then looking its growth every second. You monkey plant, you know what monkey can do. That's what the mind does. Full of growth. But still we have to engage in vyavaharas. We have to understand that. Life is practical life. We have to still pay your mortgage. You cannot say, oh, okay, everything is fine. I'm tranquil. I'm not in the field. It doesn't work. That's our responsibilities in life. That we have to deal with it. These are our things. Having got this janma, there are responsibilities associated with that. We have to do all those things. So, solution is what? Shama and Dhamma. Exercise, sense control, mind control, and sense control. Actually, it is like Rama and Lakshmana are trying to protect the Yajna Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was doing the Yajnas. And what happened? All these Rakshasas, Maricha, Shibhagu, all these fellows, they were all coming and trying to destroy it. And Rama and Lakshmana were trying to protect the Yaga. Mind is engaged in doing this Yaga every minute. By having the Shama and Dhamma, these are like Rama Lakshmanas. They are trying to drive away the Rakshasas. All these Rakshasas, negative thoughts, whenever they come, should be driven away. They have to be destroyed. When that is done, then there is no problem. That person will have tranquility. So, buddhihi paritaha avatishtate, pariyavatishtate. How long it will take for somebody to do this? To have this? Asu. Quick, if not before long. The moment a person can have this control of sense control and mind control, very quick. No, there is no waiting period at all. The moment that happens, the person will get tranquil. He will be able to get shanti, peace of mind. So, if the vyavahara settles in the mind, then it will take a very long time. If he has any problem, settles in the mind, take a long time at all. But if he need an alert life, not allow that to settle in the mind, no problem. So, shama and dhamma are the two main weapons that a person should have. Nasti buddhirayuktasya.
Nasti buddhirayuktasya. Nasti buddhirayuktasya.
Nachayuktasya bhavana.
Nachayuktasya bhavana. Nachayuktasya bhavana.
Nasti buddhirayuktasya. Nachayuktasya bhavana.
Nasti buddhirayuktasya. Nachayuktasya bhavana. Nasti buddhirayuktasya.
Nachabhavayata shantihi.
Nachabhavayata shantihi. Nachabhavayata shantihi.
Ashantasya kutasukam.
Ashantasya kutasukam. Ashantasya kutasukam.
Nachabhavayata shantihi. Ashantasya kutasukam.
Nachabhavayata shantihi. Ashantasya kutasukam.
So Krishna comes to the main topic here, Nididhyasana. If Sama and Dhamma are not there, Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation is impossible. Nididhyasana is Vedantic meditation. And Krishna actually goes one step further and says, if Sama and Dhamma are not there, even Shravanam and Mananam are going to be impossible. Leave Nididhyasana. Just to Shravanam and Annam are going to be impossible, then that is the question of Nididhyasana. So if you put it in another language, without Shama and Dhamma, Prajna or knowledge. We already told what is Prajna, is knowledge. Knowledge itself is not possible, then that is the question of Siddha Prajna, firm knowledge. Knowledge itself is not possible, Prajna itself is not possible, that is the question of Siddha Prajna. It is far, far away. Because when they are there, even Shravanam he cannot do. When this is the problems are there, he cannot even do shravana. He cannot even listen to properly. So even if he is physically present, the sense organs are open, wide open. They are not controlled. So some sound comes, immediately mind turns there. Right? That's what it is. So sense organs are open, mind control is not there, mind is wandering here and there, he cannot concentrate at all in the class. All those things are happening. That is the question of the understanding. When even the thing is not entering into the mind, that is the question of the understanding. So he says, Ayukta. Ayukta means it indicates the one who is not endowed with Shama and Dhamma, who does not have sense control, mind control and sense control. Yukta. Yukta means the one who has both. So Ayuktasya, for the unintegrated person, the person who doesn't have either sense control or mind control, for the unintelligent person, buddhihi nasti. Self-knowledge itself is impossible for him. There is no buddhi for him. It refers to Shravana Mananam, themselves are not possible for such a person. Buddhi refers to Shravana Mananam, doesn't refer because even that is not possible. Then Nididhyasana is going to be impossible. So Krishna says, Ayuktasya na bhavana. Bhavana refers to Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation. Bhavana means Nididhyasana, assimilation, meditation, Atma Jnana, that is Bhavana. For an unintegrated person, and a person who is not integrated, Nididhyasana is not possible. Vedantic meditation is not possible. If it is not possible, then what will not come for him? He will not become Sarapragna. Because Pragnana itself is not, Sarapragna he can never be. So we have to supply that. So he cannot be Jnana Nishtaha or Atma Nishtaha Sarapragna. He cannot be established in Jnana. And we should not ask, is it not enough if we have understanding alone, why Nididhyasana at all? Okay, I have understanding. We should not ask that question now. Because we are in Nididhyasana topic now. So if we have understanding, why should we have Nididhyasana at all? We should not ask that. Because Vedanta understood alone does not help in day-to-day life. Everybody knows Aham Brahma Asmi, no problem. But it doesn't help day-to-day life. It does not become spontaneous in me yet. I told every cell, the coffee example, you remember, we have to put the sugar and stir it. So every molecule of coffee will become sugar, will become tasty. So that is how it should be. It has to become part and parcel of us. Every cell should have that thought. So when there is an actual problem, our spontaneous personality, this is our subconscious mind, that alone will come up. If there's not been assimilated completely, our spontaneous personality reaction, that alone will come up first, that will come. So Vedanta should be completely assimilated for a person to have Purnatva. But in answer, he will be another imperfect person, whatever it is. So Krishna says, Abhavayataha na Shantihi. Abhavayataha na, a person who has not assimilated Vedanta, Abhavayataha na Shantihi, no peace of mind. No peace of mind for him. He will have Vedanta and he will also go. He will have Vedanta at one year, he will say all these big things. And then he will also be worrying all the time. That's why he will be practically no use for him at all, this knowledge. So for a non-meditator means a person who has not assimilated, who has not gone into Vedanta meditation, peace of mind is not at all possible. Then Ashantasya Kutasukam. He is asking the question, when the mind is not tranquil, there is no tranquility, how can he get happiness at all? Kutha sukha. Sukham, happiness, how he will ever get? So ashantasya, for a person who is not tranquil and peaceful, kutaha sukham, how can there be happiness? So what is the conclusion now? Nididhyasana, assimilation, is a must for peace of mind. For a person to have tranquility, peace of mind, shanti, Nididhyasana is a mind, it's a must for him. Because, and joy for day-to-day life, every moment he wants to enjoy, this is must. And if Nididhyasana has to be practiced, Shama and Dhamma must be there to protect. To protect from what? From all the sentences and all those things. They should be there to protect. And Krishna will once again reiterate that one should practice Shama and Dhamma very carefully, which is going to be said in the next sloka. Indriyanam hicharatam.
Indriyanam hicharatam. Indriyanam hicharatam.
Yanmanonuvidhiyate.
Yanmanonuvidhiyate. Yanmanonuvidhiyate.
Indriyanam hicharatam. Yanmanonuvidhiyate.
Indriyanam hicharatam. Yanmanonuvidhiyate. Indriyanam hicharatam.
Tatasya harati prajñām.
Tatasya harati prajñām. Tatasya harati prajñām.
Vāyurnāvani vāmpasī.
Vāyurnāvani vāmpasī. Vāyurnāvani vāmpasī.
Tatasya harati prajñām. Vāyurnāvani vāmpasī.
Tatasya harati prajñām. Vāyurnāvani vāmpasī.
So Krishna is going to conclude this discussion once again by emphasizing Sama and Dhamma. That's what he is going to do. This sense control, mind control. All the three are important. Sense control is important, mind control is important, Nididhyasana is important, all of them are important. But in this section, Krishna is emphasizing sense control, Dhamma. He does not talk too much about Shama here. mindset. So he already hinted them in two shlokas earlier, Lisa. So even Nididhyasana, he is not talking much here at all. Only hinted on Nididhyasana also earlier. Tani Sarvani Samyamyam Yukta Asita Matparaha. We saw that shloka earlier, where he only hinted again on Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation. So only in this one they hinted at that time. So having mentioned Shama, Dhamma and Nididhyasanam, he mentions Dhamma and Shama and more about Shama here. In these concluding two slokas, Krishna talks about Dhamma. Dhamma is sense control. So then we may ask the question, why should we have sense control at all? Is there any need for sense control? Since Nididhyasanam is done by what? By the mind. Mind is the one which is doing the Nididhyasanam. Vedantic meditation is done by the mind. Then why should we have self-control at all? This question might come. People might ask this question. Krishna says, unfortunately, the mind is going to travel wherever sense organs travel. Mind will travel wherever sense organs travel. That is the problem of day-to-day life for every one of us. That is the problem. If the sense organs travel that way and our mind is in Atmanishta, then there is no problem. Sense organ can go wherever they want, but mind is Atmanishta, no problem. Yeah, mind is controlled, poised, no problem. Shanti, no problem. Sense organ let them go, no problem at all. Because whatever good smell comes, it doesn't draw this guy. Sense organ may smell, mind doesn't go towards that. Possible. But since our minds follow the sense organs, sense disturbance is as good as what? Mind disturbance. For all of us. Especially for a sadhaka, for a seeker. Who is interested, who is a mumukshu, who is seeking moksha. For him, it's going to be so disturbance in sense organs is as good as disturbance of the mind. Okay? In the case of a siddha purusha, that is not a problem. Because he can be anywhere, but mind is composed, mind is tranquil for him. For a siddha purusha, for a jnani, no problem. For ordinary people, it's a problem. It is like learning a bicycle. Because once you learn a bicycle, when you start learning, nobody sees the road. Everybody sees only his legs, he'll see this, that, all that he has, he's worried about the balance. Once he becomes so much expert in bicycle, at that time he may even leave both the hands. Some people leave both the legs also, perhaps, right? He can drink coffee there, you know that in India, in the villages. There used to be some guy who will be cycling for one full week, day and night. There will be a band, music will be playing, he will be going around and he will take bath on that, he will take his food on that, take coffee on that, bread, tea, everything will go on the bicycle. Because it has become part of him completely. So even though he is sitting on the bicycle, it's completely part of him. He is not conscious of it at all. He carries on with all his activities as if he is just anywhere. So that's what he does. Same way, this person who is a Siddha Purusha, for him sense things can be, anything can be happening, doesn't matter, my mind is ever composed. He is not going to be affected. So the same is the case for Vedantic learning also. So Dhamma is necessary since Shrama is incomplete. For all of us, Shrama is incomplete because mind is not in control. So Dhamma is necessary. So problem is what? Along with the sense organs, the mind also is going and we should say no to that. Mind should not go to that. So direction should be determined. Where the mind should go, direction should be determined by what? By our Viveka Shakti. By your ability to discriminate what is to be seen, what is not to be seen, what is to be heard, what is not to be heard, what is to be smelt and what is not to be smelt. Okay? That should not register into the mind. So Krishna says, Yen manaha anu vidiyate. Yen manaha. Then whose mind, Yen manaha, whose mind follows anu vidiyate means what? Anu gachati, goes behind. Then somebody's mind goes behind what? Indriyana, the sense organ. When somebody's mind goes behind sense organs, which are sense organs are always extrovert. They are extroverts, which you see varieties of attractions. Because these two, the five gates, everything enters into the mind. So they see varieties of attractions that captivated sense organs. So it should not go behind them. So when the mind goes behind them, what type of sense organs are they? Charata, moving in various directions. The sense organs, they don't stay in one place. They keep on moving. They keep on moving this direction, that direction, they are moving. So it's like a bag full of like marbles. You have a full bag of marbles, you put it down, what happens? Everything goes in one direction. Normally it's a nellika mota. You know, they have the nellika. What is nellika called in English?
Gooseberry.
Okay, you put them in a sack and open the sack and put it down. It will all go all directions. That is how all these things go. And what will the mind will do? Tatim Asyam Pragyam Harati. That mind takes away. Harati means rafts away. It takes away what? Pragyam. Pragyam means what? Atma, Anatma, Viveka, Pragyam. The wisdom. The ability to discriminate. Atma and Anatma. What is body? What is ephemeral? What is permanent? That ability it takes away. So discrimination between Atma and Anatma, which he has heard well during Shravana. During Shravana he has heard all this, but they are all taken away. So only when Prajna is there, it can be converted to what? Sthira Prajna. So when Prajna itself is taken away, there is no question of converting anything to Sthira Prajna. Home knowledge is never going to be possible. But our mind never allows the even the Prajna to be there. Mind does not allow even the prajna knowledge to be there, it takes it away. So asyam prajnam harati, takes it away. And what do we mean by taking away? It is not in the literal sense taking away, but temporarily the mind, it is, the buddhi is clouded. The buddhi is deluded. It is clouded. So it is an avaran. Avaran means veil. We call avarana puja. It's like a veil, it's a covering. So that means the wisdom is not going to be useful to me. It is covered. It is not going to be useful to me in the day-to-day affairs at all. So I cannot do, I transact my business because I will know what is right and wrong. This deluded completely. Actually, Sankaracharya, he gives a beautiful example. When there is a clear or uncovered water, water, beautiful water, completely uncovered, very clear water, I can see even my own image in that water. Okay? But when the water is covered by algae, all this green stuff floating on the water, so the water is there, you cannot see your image on that. It is covered by that. What happens? Now let us see. You move the algae with hand. Move it away with the hand. Then the water is clear. It becomes very, very clear. But the moment you let go, that is the problem. It comes back again. So you temporarily remove it. No problem, you can see. But you cannot be quiet. The moment you take away your hand, it again comes back and you cannot see your image anymore. Similarly, when we listen to Vedanta, same thing happens. Our mind is not thinking of any other problems at that time during Vedanta, like algae, raga dvesha and all, it is not no problem, temporarily. So when Vedanta class is there, temporarily we are fine. The moment we go out, algae again comes to me. Clouds our mind, this entire thing goes away. So the moment class is over, all thoughts come back. Till that is there, no problem. All the thoughts, like algae, they are, come back, what goes away? Gita goes away. So as long as the mouth is there, the vision is going to be clouded only all the time. The mouth should be completely removed. There is no quick fix. I cannot say, okay, I can just move it aside, brush it aside. No. It should be completely removed. That is done by what? Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation alone does it. So Shravanam and Mananam, find your knowledge. But still this problem will be there. If that has to be removed, Nididhyasana has to happen. Vedantic meditation has to happen, assimilation has to take place. There is no shortcut. So once the Atma Jnanam is covered, then the behavior will be as bad as any other person in the world. When the Atma Jnanam is covered, behavior, so Gita class, no class, make Gita class doesn't matter at all to this person. So they will only say, what? You are going and sitting in a beautiful Sunday, Saturday afternoon, 3 to 5, 4 or 4:30 there. I am enjoying my life here. Between you and me, there is no difference. That's what that they will say, because that is not going to be practically useful to us. So when that is covered, all the problems of the world, raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, all those things, they will all come and they are going to haunt us. Swami Krishna is giving a beautiful example here in the last part of the sloka. Vayuhu nabham ambasi iva harati. Vayuhu nabham ambasi iva harati. Here, our discriminating knowledge, our viveka shakti, it is compared to a boat, nava. Nava means boat. Our discriminative ability is compared to a boat. And the boat is moving where? In the waters of samsara. The boat is moving in the waters of samsara. It is now caught up in these waters of samsara. And what is the destination for it? The firm shore. That's a shore. The boat has to reach the shore, that is the ship has to reach there. Where there are no turbulations. Water there is turbulation. In the shore there is no turbulation. Everything is firm, nice. It has reached there. Which is nothing but what? Sthira prajna. So the shore is compared to sthira prajna form. The firm knowledge. Okay. So the boat of discriminative knowledge is now trying to travel and travel through Nididhyasana, through this practice of Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation, wants to reach the destination called Therapeutica. It wants to reach there. Moksha, Shanti, whatever it is, that is what it's supposed to reach. And we require an oar. Right? For the boat to go, boat will not go by itself. We need a oar. To oar, you know, you have to move it forward. And that oar is Nididhyasana, supported by Shama and Dhamma. Mind control and sense control, they will support this process for this boat to cross and reach the firm shore. So when a powerful tempest comes, all the war etc., they become helpless. When the tempest is very, very powerful, you may have some war, it is useless. It's going to, even it can topsy-turvy the boat. Boat can even capsize. That's all possible. In the same way, if Nididhyasana is the board, what is the wind? What is the tempest? The uncontrolled mind is the tempest. And the sense organ alone are the winds. They are the mind and the sense organ, they are like the tempest. Because they produce what? Powerful desires. They produce powerful desires in the mind. Lot of temptation. Even the rishis, they could not control. They succumb to the temptations many of them. So it can create such a great temptation in the mind. So every reaction is like a cyclone. Every reaction in the mind is like a cyclone. The moment somebody says something, immediately you spurts out, you get angry, immediately your ego is touched. The person immediately jumps up and down, he calls him all the names. Whether he knows Lidhasasana or not, he knows all the sasana to call this guy. Because reaction of the mind. Mind is not composed yet. The person has not evolved yet. This is not a person of age. You cannot say, okay, guy is 10 only behaves like this. Person at 90 also can behave like that. Because the person is the exercise of the mind is not exhibited. If it is not controlled, regardless of age, regardless of position, regardless of environment, doesn't matter, the person will behave like that. So they produce powerful desires in the mind, cause all these temptations. So every reaction is like a cyclone which takes away our discriminative power. The moment a person reacts, what happens? The discriminative power, ability is gone, it is taken away. And Krishna says, Vayuhu, the powerful wind of mind and sense organs. We have to compare that. The powerful wind of the mind and sense organs. Navam means about our discriminative power. Ambasi means in the ocean of samsara. Ambasi actually ocean of samsara. Here, harati takes away. It takes away. So we have to protect the prajna. Prajna is knowledge. We have to protect the prajna from the cyclone all the time. So whatever knowledge we have, such knowledge, before it becomes therapeutic, we have to protect it all the time from the cyclone of thoughts, from the cyclone of all these things. So wherever there is a provoking situation in life, there are many of them, wherever there is a provoking situation in life, somehow or the other, we have to avoid it. Either we go away from that place or make that place go away, whichever it is possible. When there is a provoking situation, we should leave that place or get out of the situation somehow. Do not be in the midst of the situation and be not able to handle the situation. Arguments may lead to anger. It can increase the heartbeat. Reactions more. Again and again, problems can haunt the person and he may not be able to get out of that problem. So wherever there is a situation, the provoking situation comes, we should see how to get out of that. We should not nourish it and get into the situation more. Tasma yajnasya mahabhavo.
Tasma yajnasya mahabhavo. Tasma yajnasya mahabhavo.
Igrihitani sarvashaha.
Igrihitani sarvashaha. Igrihitani sarvashaha.
Tasma yajnasya mahabhavo. Igrihitani sarvashaha.
Tasma yajnasya mahabhavo. Igrihitani sarvashaha.
तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता So Krishna is concluding this topic and finally emphasizes Dhamma itself as the most important, like sense control. self-control itself as the most important one. Krishna is concluding here. And he is concluding, making this conclusion because of two reasons. As why is self-control is most important? He is trying to give the reason. One is, all our problems are fundamentally begin with what? The sense organs only. Any problem that we have fundamentally starts with the sense organs only. Any addiction, any weakness, sorrow, disappointment, whatever they are, the root cause for all of them is what? The sense organs. Even if the mind has to get agitated, the sense organs only have to feed the matter to the mind. Otherwise, mind doesn't have any matter by itself. So sense organs have to feed it to them. So that's number one. So Dhamma is, second one, Dhamma is the discipline at what level? At the external level. Dhamma is the discipline, self-control is at the external. Mind control is the internal level. So Dhamma is the control, discipline at the external level, and all sadhanas must begin where? At the external level only first. Because internal control is very much developed later only. First we have to control the external control only. First, on Ekadashi day, we are not taking food at all. What control it is? Mind control or external control? First, you are not feeding to the mind. So, any vratam, any discipline, anything that you observe, they all start with external control. External control of the sense organs. So, the control begins with the external organs, pancha jnanendriyas and also pancha karmendriyas. By the sense organs and by organs of action, it starts with all of them. So, Dhamma is the first spiritual sadhana. So that is why Dhamma is the first spiritual sadhana. Actually, Viveka Chudamani, Acharya Shankaracharya, he says, Vang Nirodaha. He says, Vang Nirodaha. Even in the external control, Shankaracharya says, the first control is mouth control. What is the difference between mouth and other sense organs, other organs? Taste organs and other sense organs. All others are only one-way traffic. This mouth alone is two-way traffic. You can utter a word, you can also swallow food. So both can only, mouth alone is two-way traffic. All others hear, you can only hear. Nothing goes out of the ear. Things can come into the eyes, nothing goes out of the eyes. Right? Whereas here, through the mouth, you speak, you also, this one. So that is why, Alshankaracharya, he said, Vang Nirodaha, control this thing first. So that's what he said. So we say external organs are to be controlled, and then we talk about control of the mind. So these are the two reasons which we can understand why Dhamma is considered to be important. So Krishna emphasizes here, Mahabaho, he is addressing Arjuna as Mahabaho, Yasya Indriyani Nigrihitani. Yasya, the one whose sense organs are controlled. Yasya Indriyani, sense organs are Nigrihitani controlled for that person. Actually, when we talk about here sense control, we don't say completely closing them. We should be also careful. We are controlling sense organs, we are not completely shutting it off. You cannot shut off. Because basic things in life you need, for the sense organs is a requirement. You need them. So you cannot just shut them off. Okay, you cannot do that. Because it is impossible to stop the sense organs. You can only regulate them. You can control the means, you can regulate them. It's not shutting them off. So nigraha. Nigraha means stopping or regulating. Here it is regulating, not stopping. So whatever is the potential danger, remember the top price example? Kurmongani, how it is pulling all the top eyes, is pulling all the legs and also the head inside. You have to avoid. When that situation comes, which is going to be a problem, we have to avoid those situations. We have to enjoy the beauty of creation, no problem. There are gadgets, no problem at all. We can enjoy all of them, no problem at all. But do not develop attachment to them. You can enjoy all of them, no. God has given nature in plenty for enjoyment, for us, no problem at all. We can enjoy all of them. But we should not develop attachment to any of them. So that is the first thing. So do not think that without that, I am lost. Without that, I cannot become complete. We should not think that way anytime. It is like a traffic police. What the traffic police does? Traffic police does not stop traffic. He only moderates, regulates the traffic. He cannot just stop the traffic. He won't do that. He will moderate the traffic. He regulates. So Krishna says, Yasya Indriyani Nigrihitani. From what? Indriya Tevyaha. Indriya Tevya means from the respective sense objects. So, ear from hearing, eyes from seeing, so nose from smelling. So, from the respective sense objects, you control. You control means you regulate them. So, eyes have to see only what should be seen. Ears have to hear only what should be heard. Gossip is nice to, gossip is very interesting, right? Shut up. No need to that. So, Wherever there is things which are not to be heard, shut it off. Do not even go near them. People might call you, oh, this guy is not social at all. Why be social? If the social is going to breed more gossip, why social at all? I don't want the social. Right? No need. So this is how people have to control themselves. They have to regulate themselves. And how? Sarvashaha. Sarvashaha means totally and completely. Not partially. Okay, 10% I will get here. No. Totally and completely get out of that. No problem at all. Actually, Vivekananda Chittan again, Acharya says, how each animal falls a victim to one of the sense organs. He says, Turanga, Matanga, Patanga, Meenam, Bringanara, Panchabihim, Anjidakyam. All these various animals, deer, it falls a prey to sound. The guy who is a hunter, he plays the beautiful whatever music in our country life. And the deer gets enchanted by the music, he can go and catch it. And an elephant, by touch. The elephant, you know the way they catch elephants? This is something which may be interesting for you. They, in all these wood, they make big, craters. on this thing. They cover it with so much of, leaves and all that. So this elephant comes. And he doesn't, he sees all these leaves, so he just goes and falls inside. And it is there. And he will not go near it for another 1 week, 10 days, 15 days, he won't go near it at all. So all the leaves and all, it will eat away all of them in another 1 week, and it is now starving. It has nothing to eat. So it is so much of hunger. At that time, what this guy will, this guy will come. He is trying to put the elephant out, he won't come by himself. He will bring a female elephant with him. And he has got this that dagger kind of an instrument. With that he will poke it. And this elephant is bleeding now. It is crying. Because it has pain, it is hunger, it is captivated. In the court there is not enough space for it to move. You know what a life it is. At that time he brings this female elephant. And that female elephant will extend its beak. And then it will go and try to give a hand to it to put it out. This elephant, the moment it gets the touch of that female elephant, it forgets everything. He just goes behind that elephant and gets ended up in all these temples. You go pay money and sit on that. All those elephants have been caught like that. They all fell the prey to what? Sense of touch. So that is sense of hearing. This is sense of touch. And fish, sense of taste. To catch a fish, what he does? He puts a small some worm or something. By touch it gets, by taste it gets caught. And bee, by smell, it gets caught. And then flies. The light flies, by all these things, they become light. But the peculiarity between all these things and human being, is what? All these things, they fall a prey to only one sense. But the human being fall a prey to all the five senses. Look at this guy. What a desperate situation he is in. So all these things pull him out. Because all these animals are there, only one sense only can kill them. Whereas all the five senses can kill this person. So he says sarvashaha. That is why Krishna says sarvashaha. All five have to be mastered. They have to gain mastery over all sense organs. And it is not a choice. I cannot say, okay, I will control three of the five. I can get passed, right? In examination. If you get 67% mark, you can pass. No. All the five, none of them can kill a person. I cannot say I can gain mastery over three of them. The other two, fine. No. All the five has to be mastered. So sarvashaha. Krishna calls Arjuna Mahabaho. Mahabaho means what? He uses, how he calls, addresses Arjuna. Mahabaho. You are the mighty one, mighty warrior. You can do that. You can control your senses. You are mighty Baho. You are mighty warrior. So you have the power in hands and legs as a great archer. You have got power in hands and legs. You can do all that. You have conquered so many battles. Conquer these five senses you should. That's what he says. So the real strength is in the control of all these sense organs, not in the control of, winning over all these enemies outside, all those wars. They are all fine, but you conquer these five enemies inside you, within you, which you can conquer. So only if you have done that, you can be really called a Mahabharata. Even though I am addressing you, that's a ma. Okay, right? That's talking about ma. Till then you are only a what? You are only a Durbala. You are weakling. Durbala is a weakling. You are only a weakling till then. So you are not ma. You are crime. Try to control your inner enemies. And what is the benefit of this? Tasya prajna pratishthita. Only such a person's wisdom alone becomes established, gets rooted. Such a person's wisdom alone gets rooted. So with this sloka, Krishna concludes the topic of Sthira Prajna. So Sthira Prajna topic is what? Sloka 58 to 68 is concluded. The technique of making the prajna, the knowledge to Sthira Prajna, firm knowledge. Shama, mind control, and Dhamma, self-sense control, and Vidhidhyasana, Vedantic meditation, all these things, he is using them to do this. He is going to talk about Vidhidhyasana, Vedantic meditation more in the 6th chapter. We will see at that time more detail. So now Krishna is going to continue with the old topic. Before we started this thing, the old topic, that this is, as I told, this was only a diversion. When we talked about the, I told this only a diversion. So, Siddha Prajna, Lakshanani. The characteristics of the Sthita Prajna. From Sloka 55, that's what we saw earlier. He is going to talk, the diversion is now over, he is going to pick up the thread, what we talked about earlier. So from the next Sloka, the characteristics of the Sthita Prajna. The person with firm knowledge, what is the characteristics of that person? He is going to talk. You remember the question Arjuna asked? Siddha Prajna is Eka Bhasha. He asked how he speaks, how he sits, how he walks. So these are the characteristics of the Sthita Prajna. He is just picking up from here. Yanisha sarva bhutanam.
Yanisha sarva bhutanam. Yanisha sarva bhutanam.
Tasyam jagati samyami.
Tasyam jagati samyami. Tasyam jagati samyami.
Yanisha sarva bhutanam. Tasyam jagati samyami.
Yanisha sarva bhutanam. Tasyam jagati samyami.
यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि
यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि
सानिशा पश्यतो मुनेः
सानिशा पश्यतो मुनेः सानिशा पश्यतो मुनेः
यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि सानिशा पश्यतो मुनेः
यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि सानिशा पश्यतो मुनेः
So from this sloka, sloka 69 till the end, the Sthira Prajna Lakshana is given, the characteristics of Sthita Prajna. And Krishna says, even though Jnani and Ajnani, they look the same externally. You look at them, Jnani and Ajnani, they look the same externally. They are diagonally opposite in nature. So they all look same. But they are diagonally opposite in nature. So externally they same, has the same body, similar body, sense organs, habits, all those things are same, both Jnani and Ajnani, everything they all look to be similar, no problem. But still they are opposite, and how they are different, Krishna is trying to tell here. The difference is how they look upon themselves and look upon the world. The difference is how the Jnani looks upon the world and looks upon himself, and how others, the Ajnani, looks upon themselves and the world, the outlook, the attitude. That is completely different between both of them. In fact, they are even opposite. Not even completely different, they are opposite also. How? So when an Ajnani looks at himself, what he looks at himself? When an Ajnani, you call an Ajnani person and ask him, who are you? What he says? I am so and so, born so and so, date, I am 5 feet so many inches, I am so many pounds. He is telling all those. He is manager somewhere, he is worker somewhere, he is husband, he is whatever it is. So that is when an Ajnani, when you ask him who are you, he is telling all these things. So he is looking at himself as what? At the body level. He is looking at all this at his body level. So looks upon himself as anatma. We already told this, used the word earlier. Body level is anatma. Not Atma, it is Anatma, and so he is limited. He is only 5 feet so many inches tall, limited. He is not infinitely tall. He is only so many pounds weight, limited. So intellect limited, buddhi limited, everything is limited. That's what he is thinking. So Ajnani is I, when Ajnani says I am so and so, Ajnani is I is limited I. It's a crooked I, the small I. It is not the big I. So big I is the big, firm, big I. It's a crooked small I. When he says I am so and so, small I. So when the Jnani looks upon himself, what he says? His eye is the big eye. He says, I am resting in Atma. I am resting in Atma, which is limitless. Whereas this small eye is limited eye, Anatma, or Jnana is eye is the big eye, it is limitless, it is infinite. Atma is Atma Purna. He is the person, he is Aham Purna. He is looking at this as Purna. So one is a samsari, Anatma, this Ajnani, and another one is what? He is Muktaha Aham. Jnani is Muktaha. So he is Anatma, he is Atma. He is Purnaha, this Jnani is Purnaha, he is Apurnaha Aham. Who is this Ajnani? So they are diagonally opposite. So this is said actually in the shloka with an example of day and night. Day and night, how opposite they are. So that is how they say it. How a Jnani looks at it and how an Ajnani looks at it, it is the difference is like day and night. So much they are very opposite. So the difference between a Jnani and Ajnani is like between day and night. Now, Jnani knows that I am the Atma immortal. Jnani knows I am the Atma which is immortal. It has no birth, no death. It is immortal. Whereas the Ajnani sees difference everywhere. He sees difference everywhere, including man and God. Because Ajnani, even differences, he sees everywhere differences, including man and God, the total. God is the total. When the total is there, you are included in the total. But he sees that total is different from him. Then where is total? That is what the Ajnani sees. So he sees himself as a wave only. He does not see himself as water. Ajnani sees himself as a wave, as a ripple. He doesn't think that he is water. Wave is water. There is no wave without water, but there can be water without wave. He thinks of himself only as a wave. So with the differences in ripples, there is so many differences in ripples. Life, there are so many differences. All these varieties he sees. While the Jnani sees himself as water and not wave. That's the difference, okay? So even the mighty ocean is what? Is nothing but water. Jnani thinks of himself as water. So there is no ocean without water. That's what the Jnani thinks. So in the same way, Jnani knows that he is also the Chaitanya Swarupam. He is Chaitanya all-pervading, in and through everything in creation, nothing else but Chaitanya. He knows. So he is not only himself, he is everyone also. He sees Chaitanya in everything. No disparity at all. So Ishwara also is Chaitanya. Maybe whether it is Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Lord whatever it is, they are also Chaitanya only. So there is only one Chaitanya everywhere and there is no differences at all. Abedaha nasti. No Veda. For a Jnani, he doesn't seem any plurality at all. There is no Veda at all. So Ajnani has Veda Buddhi, the Ajnani has, he has the Veda Buddhi, whereas Jnani, duality. Veda Buddhi is duality. He has dual attitude, whereas the Ajnani, what he says, the Jnani does not have Veda Buddhi at all. He doesn't have Veda Buddhi at all. So we should remember here, even when the Jnani may have Aveda Buddhi internally, his eyes will see differences only. He will see you different than her. He will see her different than him. That you will see. Eyes will perceive differences in them. Yeah, that is practical world. In practical world, you have plurality. It will see the differences. No problem. But he knows internally what? Even though they are name, form and function different externally, and the Chaitanya is same in all of them. So even though he sees, perceives differences externally, he knows substantially they are one and the same. The Jnani has got his thing. It is like the steam, water and eyes, different faces. They look different. But what is common all of them? All is water. So that Jnani knows. He looks at them as only water only, different forms, different nama, rupa and karma. That's what he says. So they are diagonally opposite. Ajnani and Ajnani are diagonally opposite. And Krishna takes here an example to convey this idea in this shloka. So the Paramartha Tattva, the ultimate truth. Paramartha means ultimate truth. That is Advaitam. Advaitam is Paramartha Tattva. Paramarthikam Satyam is Advaitam. That is ultimate truth. Is taken here as daylight. So Advaitam is taken here as daylight, which is clear. And a wise man, a Jnani, is very much awake to the day of light, namely the Paramartha Tattva. Paramartha Tattva is Advaitam. A Jnani is very much awake to that, he is like daylight for them. That is for him, Paramartha Tattva is clear as daylight. For the Jnani, the ultimate truth, Advaita, is very clear as daylight. That is for the Jnani. But there are certain animals, birds, there are some of them, like the owl. Yavulisa. This can see in the night. In the daytime it won't see it. It is sleeping. In the night only it is wide awake. It can see in the night. So what is daylight for others is like night. What is night for others is like daylight. So for certain animals, they cannot see in the day, but they have in the night only they can see. So they are, so when the light is enveloped with darkness, then these things become active. So that Paramartha Tattvam, that ultimate truth, that Advaitam, which is clear like daylight for the Jnani, is the night for the Ajnani. For the Ajnani, it looks like a night, like the owls and all, it looks like a night for them. For the, so first line is what? Samyami. Samyami means the name of the Jnani. Krishna calls the Jnani, the Sthira Prajna, as Samyami. That is the name here, Samyami. Jagarti. Jagarti means is awake. Is awake to what? Satya. Satya means to that Paramartha Tattvam, the Self, the Atma. He is awake to that knowledge. So Sthira Prajna is awake to Atma. That means what? That for him, the Atma is like daylight, very clear to him. It is not hypothetical. He sees it very, he can see differences in the practical world, but he sees Atma Jnanam is clear, daylight to him. Yeah, the same Paramartha Tattvam is what? Nisha is darkness. For him it is daylight. This is Nisha, darkness, or night. For whom? Sarva Bhutana, for all ignorant people. For all ignorant people, that knowledge Advaitam is like night, is not clear to them, whereas for Jnani, it is clear. So that very same Paramartha Tattvam, Atma, is the night for Sarva Bhutana, for all Jnanis, all ignorant people, who are like owls. He calls them that. So he's got Naktanjaraha. Naktanjaraha is out. Then the second line, Sa. Sa refers to Anatma. All these people, Sa refers to here Dvaita. Dvaita means the Veda Buddhi, the seeing things differently. So what is Dvaita for a wise man? He is never awake to or aware of Dvaita. A Jnani is never awake to Dvaita. Abheda Buddhi all the time, no Veda at all, no discrimination at all, for him. Okay. It is only superficial Nama Rupa he understands. A Jnani understands these differences are only superficial. Substantially there is no difference. It is as good as non-existent for him. For the Jnani, as good as non-existent. Because we should remember, once we have understood water, then what means what? Water does not have any existence, all the waves and all have no existence at all, once we understand water. The moment you understand water, waves disappear. Wave is also what? Water is also, everything is water. As long as we don't understand water, we see wave as wave. Practically a wave is there, fine. But substantially wave is not independently existent from water. Water is the substance. So, for Advaita Jnani, Dvaitam is only Mithya. Mithya means appearing as real. Mithya is not false. Mithya is appearing as real. That's what it is. For the Advaita Jnani, it is Nama Rupa. So the word is Mithya means it is appearing as real. It is not real, but it is appearing as real. Not that it is not there, it is there, but it is appearing as real. So he is not awake to Dvaitam, or he is asleep to Dvaitam, or Dvaitam is like night for him. Three times. You see the sequence? This is a little boring topic, but we should be with us. So, sa munede nisha bhavati. Dvaitam is like night for him. To that, jnani. Here, pasyato munehe refers to siddha prajna. Munehe refers to siddha prajna. So, for siddha prajna, dvaitam is like night. He is asleep to it. He is not aware of it at all. He has no Veda period. For a jnani, advaita jnani, Veda nasti. And then he is asleep to Dvaitam. What do ignorant people do? The Ajnanis, Yasyam, Jagrati Bhutani. Bhutani, for the ignorant people, the duality is what? Is like light. Because they see Vedam only everywhere. So they only duality everywhere. So that is like light for them. But the Jnani, that is like night. Whereas for the Ajnanis, it is like light for them. That is, ignorant people are awake to Dvaitam. Like what? Like the owls. They begin in the night, they are awake. That's what they are. So when Jnani is asleep to Dvaita night, the Ajnani owl is very much awake to that Dvaita. Awake to that Dvaita. Since I want that which jnani sees, the ajnani does not recognize, and that which the ajnani is recognizes, the jnani doesn't recognize at all. Okay. So when satyam is known, mithya is dismissed. Right? When we are absorbed in mithya, satyam cannot be seen. Right? When satyam is seen, mithya is dismissed. You don't see it. Same. So when we are in samsara, mithya, when we are in samsara, moksha is far, far away. You cannot pick this thing at all. As long as we are in samsara, so it looks to be like an utopian ideal. When you tell a samsari, moksha is there, you say, oh, some utopian thing is somewhere there. That's what you will think. For us, jagat is satyam. We think the world is satyam and Brahman is mithya. That's what we all think as a jnanis. So for a jnani, sarvam vishnumayam jagat. The entire thing is only being divinity only. There is nothing other than that. So sarvam kalu idam brahma. Sarvam kalu idam brahma. So one sees the rope, other sees the snake. Right? The one who sees the rope, he is not frightened. The one who sees the rope as snake, he is ever frightened. So when once we have satya dritti, when we look at the satya vastu, the ultimate truth, there is no fear. Otherwise, there is always fear, there is fear. Ahuryamanam achalam. Okay, there are only two slokas. Now, if I can take some more time, I can finish them, because there are not going to be classes for nearly 2 months. So I can finish, because next week Saturday is Christmas Day, then following is New Year's Day vacation, then I am gone to India. I will be back only in the third week of February. So if you want to sit for some more time, I can finish this chapter. Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay. Then, believe me, when I start the third chapter, I will summarize the entire second chapter, so that no problem. You will go on right now. I want just to start the third chapter. Āhūryamāṇam acala-pratiṣṭam
Āhūryamāṇam acala-pratiṣṭam Āhūryamāṇam acala-pratiṣṭam
Samudra-māpa-pravishanti-yadvat
Samudra-māpa-pravishanti-yadvat Samudra-māpa-pravishanti-yadvat
Āhūryamāṇam acala-pratiṣṭam Samudra-māpa-pravishanti-yadvat
Āhūryamāṇam acala-pratiṣṭam
Tatvatkamayam pravishanti sarve
Tatvatkamayam pravishanti sarve Tatvatkamayam pravishanti sarve
Shashanti mapnoti na kamakami
Shashanti mapnoti na kamakami Shashanti mapnoti na kamakami
Tatvatkamayam pravishanti sarve Shashanti mapnoti na kamakami
Tatvatkamayam pravishanti sarve
Another beautiful, brilliant example which sums up all the characteristics of a jnani. It can be illustrated through this one example. So Vyasacharya, he even changes the meter for this sloka here. So even if you forget all other therapeutic lakshanas, all other characteristics, doesn't matter. If you remember just this one sloka, is there. That's what he says here. Here, jnani or siddha prajna is compared to an ocean. It is compared to an ocean. So from the ocean itself, we can derive all other characteristics. That's what he says. What is one uniqueness of the ocean? Ocean is apara. Aparam pararajita. Pararajita means is limitless. Ocean is aparam, is pararajita, is limitless. We cannot see the limiting corners of the ocean. For a lake you can see, for a pond you can see, what are the boundaries you can see, for an ocean you cannot see. So it is limitless, it is purnaha. Ocean is purnaha and jnani is also purnaha. So if jnani is compared to the ocean, then who are we? We are all like maybe like pond, puddle of water or a well or any one of those. No, we can be any of that. Okay, or maybe the well dried up well, possible for some water. And second thing is, ocean is not dependent on anything for its purnatva. So ocean is independent. It is Purnaha independent of anything else. By itself it is Purnaha. It does not depend on rain. It does not depend on whether so many water rivers come in, join or not. Whether those rivers are full, whether they are dry. No. It is all the time. It is independent. So it is Nirapekshaha. It is this. So first is Purnaha. This is Nirapekshaha. It is independent all the time. So Jnani Purnatvam also is not dependent on any factor. We already saw that Atmani Eva Atmana Tushtaha. We already saw that in the first sloka. We saw that. So his happiness, his Purnatvam is not dependent on any external factor. Actually, in the Upanishad, it is said actually Sve Mahimni Pratishtita. Sve Mahimni. It exists in its own glory. The Jnani exists in its own glory. He doesn't require any other glory externally for him to be glorious. He's expressed in his own glory, and it's not a borrowed glory at all. His own glory. Whereas Ajnani is what? Very much dependent. Ajnani has to be dependent. I am complete only when I have people around me, I have bank balance, I have all these things around me. People should say what? I love you all the time. Every phone call, they should say I love you. Otherwise, he is just bad. No problem. I love you. The moment phone call is concluded, I love you should be said. Otherwise, the other person is problem. We have to communicate that thing all the time. So all are baddaha. Baddaha apekshaha. They are all bound people. They are not independent people. Baddaha bound apekshaha. So Jnani does not ask for love and joy from anyone. He does not ask for any one of them. But he gives on and on and on with him so much. His cup is ever full. He gives happiness to everybody. His cup is ever full. It never gets dried up. And the third difference is, all the rivers, they are all different till they enter the ocean. All the rivers, so you have Ganges river, you have Yamuna river, you have that river, this one, Godavari, they are all different till they enter the ocean. Okay? So even there is a gradation. So Ganges river is more holier than the Yamuna river. Yamuna river, so Yamuna is solid, the dark green color. So Ganges is all this. So always this is so much of difference, of gradation between the rivers. But when they all merge into the ocean, even the gradations in the rivers can vanishes. There is no gradation once they merge into the ocean. There is, once they merge into the ocean, there is no Ganga, there is no Kuomintar. You know, all this drainage also goes and merges with the ocean. No difference. They all become same status. They all become one ocean only. So similarly, there are varieties of experiences in life. Varieties of experiences are there. There are pain, there is pleasure, all those things in life. When they enter into the Jnani's mind, in the Jnani's mind, they are all merged. There is no pleasure, pain separately for the Jnani. He does not treat the experiences as good or bad or any of them, Shubham, Ashubham, they are all only for Ajnani. For a Jnani, there is nothing like Shubham or Ashubham, there is Manam or Ahamanam, none of those things are for the Jnani. You cannot touch him, you cannot relate him, you cannot do anything. All one and the same Brahman. Brahman, water alone, everywhere, not waves. And there is no reaction in his part. Jnani's part, there is no reaction at all. When the Ganges comes, the ocean is not going to be elated. Oh, Ganges is coming. Let me give me a royal welcome to Ganges. No. When Kuva comes also, same thing. It is not the same thing. It's sad. So it's the same thing. So the Jnani is with respect to experiences, same. Whatever may be the experience, he is same only. Well, Ajnani is like a well. When there is dirty water falling into that, the well becomes dirty. When this water, beautiful rain comes into that, well water is good. So it becomes dirty, it becomes fragrant, it can do all that thing. When you add fragrant water, it becomes fragrant also. So all stay, they are happy experiences, Ajnani, happy experiences, elixir. And if it is dukkham, it becomes sorrow. So all those things, they knock him out. They can happen. So no differences of experiences in Jnani like a ocean. So Krishna says, Apaha samudram pravishanti. Apaha refers to waters. Waters in the form of rivers, in the form of all those streams, all those things, they enter into the ocean. Pravishanti, samudram pravishanti. Enter into the ocean. And what type of ocean? Which is apuryamanam, ever full. This ocean, which is ever full, they all enter into that. Means by what? By entry of the river, the ocean is not going to increase in level. Right? It is ever full. There is nothing, it cannot be made full anymore. It is ever full. Asamantate puryamanam purnaha ityartha. So it is our throat. And because of that, there is another adjective for devotion. Krishna gives Achara Pratishtha. Pratishtha is the glory, the majesty, the magnanimity of devotion. Acharam, undisturbed. It is not disturbed at all by whether this river comes or not. So, this whose majesty, the majesty of the ocean, is undisturbed by the entry of any river, whatever the river. So, actually Shankaracharya, he says, avikara swarupam, no vikara at all, no modification, no change of the ocean, avikara swarupam. Whereas in Ajnani's case, it's just to see the face, you know. From the moment something is said, brightens the face. Otherwise, like a punctured tire. So we get wrinkles in the space. The more wrinkles, you know what the face attitude. Prasannavadanam, you know, the wrinkled face also we know. So ocean never gets superior or inferior. So all the ocean, the waters they enter, they may be superior or inferior, but ocean doesn't become superior or inferior. Same way with jnani also. Nothing superior or inferior. Yet Vade, all that way, Tadvade in the same way, as these things are out there. In the same way, in the case of a jnani, kama sarve yam pravishanti. Yam refers to the jnani. Jnani means jnaninam, sthira prajna. So the jnaninam, sarve kama pravishanti. Here kama refers to sense objects or experiences. Kama, not desires, sense objects or experiences. So vishaya, vishaya arubava, avishaya, but we have seen that earlier. So kamyante iti kamaha, kama karma vitutti. So all varieties of experiences, like glories from some people may say, oh, you are great, some people may condemn him, they may say, oh, this jnani is a fake jnani, he's a bad jnani, they may say, all that doesn't matter. So they may say, oh, Vedanta, waste of time, doesn't matter. All those things do not affect him. So kamaha, kamaha means vishayaha, anubhavaha, all these experiences, sarve api jnaninam pravishanti. All varieties of experiences, they may enter into the jnani. All of them they enter. And what happens to him? Saha shantim apnoti. He ever remains, apnoti means attains. Here he remains. He ever remains shantim in peace. So whether it is he is condemned, whether he is praised, does not matter. He ever remains in peace. Shanta samudravatu. Like the Pacific Ocean. Shanta samudra. There are no waves at all. It's always peaceful. So Pacific. So he ever remains very calm. And this alone is indicative of what is known as Jivan Muktihi. Jivan Mukti means a person who has become Muktaha in this life itself. It's a Jivan Muktaha, Jivan Mukti. So it is not an external sign. Somebody became Jivan Mukti and not a big arrow is around his head. No. It is not any external sign at all. It is what? It is sign of a Vedanti is Shanti. Ever prasanna vadana. A person who is always composed, who is always at peace. That person is Shanti. The more we are disturbed, more we are frustrated, jealous, impatience, all those things, irritation, reaction, all those things, they are a signs of what? Vedanta has not entered into him yet. Vedanta is very far away, he is somewhere here. That's what it says. So how to know whether Vedanta has entered or not? Saha shantim apnoti. So on the thing. How much you are composed, how peaceful you are with yourself. Who will know it? Yes. He can look very peaceful to all others. You know, this is one great characteristic of a politician. You know, first thing they are trained is, they should not show the reactions in that case. So they, but that it matters, they will show. But otherwise they will be, you know, very, you know, long ago, when the Kennedy was there, Khrushchev was the Russian president. So there was a big argument. And the United Nations. So he is asking, tell me whether you have got weapons in your whatever base in Cuba or not. Do not wait for the translation. So that Christian is waiting for the translation. He understands English. But he will not. They are trained to be like that. So that face will not give expression. I thought otherwise he can react immediately when he isn't. So he means quite enough, so they are trained. Whereas here the jnani is naturally like that. He is ever shanti. That's what he is. So Krishna makes it very, very beautiful. So Shanti is the criterion, that is the acid test. What is the litmus test here? Shanti. How composed are you? How peaceful are you? That whether this jnana is really in or not is seen by how, you know, peaceful a person is. So Krishna makes a beautiful contrast here. Na kama kami. Na kama kami means not an ajnani. Final meaning of kama kami is ajnani. That's the final meaning. We are going to derive that meaning now. But Kama Kami means Ajnana. We have to actually add the verb here, Kama Kami na Shanti Mahapur. For Ajnani, he doesn't get peace.
Okay.
Ajnani never knows what is peace of mind. He has only pieces of mind. He never has peace of mind. Why? Because he has got these two types of reaction. When an experience is undesirable, then Jnani reacts. Ajnani reacts. He worries, he struggles, he frustrates, all those things. He pushes, tries to push it away. Yes, he struggles to push it away. So when it is desirable, what he does, he wants to get it again and again. When it is undesirable, he wants to push away. When it is liking it, he wants to get more and more. There also there is a struggle. So you have a struggle to push it away, you have a struggle to get more. So there is always struggle. So there is kama. There is kama that I should possess. Or there is lobha that I should have again and again. He has one of them. So either there is dvesha, hatred to push it away, or there is raga, attachment to get more. That's what Ajnani has. These are the only two last part. So Ajnani has got time for raga dvesha and raga dvesha bond agitation. Both he has got. Ajnani. Okay. So he never knows, even for a second, what is peace of mind at all. He never knows. Always he is engaged in these two. He never knows at all. So what he calls peace, sometimes he calls it peaceful. Right? Sometimes he says very enjoyable, peaceful. That is only relative peace. It is not absolute peace at all. Whether, you know, all these border clashes, Israel and Palestine, whether there is big death, there is peace pact. Peace pact was lasting for maybe 2 weeks or 1 week. That's the again there is. So there is peace. That 1 week. His peace is also relative, temporary, or only that 1 week or 10 days, or maybe a few minutes sometimes, we don't know. So throughout the day, we have agitation. One day we have higher agitation, one day we have lower agitation. We have only agitation most of the time. So peace, temporary peace. We can have something. So Krishna says, Kama Kami. And what is the literal word of the word Kama Kami? The Kama Kami has got two Kamas. First Kama and Kami. So the first Kama refers to Vishayas. Vishayas means sense objects. So Kamyante iti Kama, we already saw it earlier. So Vishayas. Vishayas are sense objects. Kama. And Kami means the one who desires. Kami refers to the person. Kama refers to the Vishayas. Kami refers to the person, the one who desires. So Kamyate iti Kami. That is Kamyante iti Kama. The Kamyate iti Kami, a desirer. The one who desires is Kami. So Kama Kami means what? Vishayan Kamayate iti Kama Kami. One who desires sense objects. So one who desires sense objects is Kama Kami. So one who looks for external conditions to be happy. So once we look for sense objects, means what? For him to be happy, he looks for external objects. These are all external objects to be happy. So he wants to be extrovert. He is always busy acquiring and disposing materials. Acquiring to gain pleasure, disposing if he doesn't have pleasure. So he is always doing that only. This person is an Ajnani, Kama Kami is an Ajnani. And what is the connection between Kama and Ajnanam? Desire and ignorance, we have to understand that also. Right? We only said Kama is desire. Desire and ignorance, what is the connection? When there is ignorance, I do not know what I am Atma. When there is ignorance, there is Ajnana, right? I do not know I am Atma, and so what do? I identify myself with what? With Anatma, the Sharira. When there is ignorance, I do not know I am Atma, I identify myself with my body, the Anatma, the Sharira. So because of Ajnanam, what comes? Atma Abhimanam comes. Atma Abhimanam means what? Dehatma Buddhi is coming. Anatma Abhimanam comes. Or Dehatma Buddhi is coming. Anatma Abhimanam is Dehatma Buddhi. That I am the body notion. That comes. Because of Ajnanam. And once that is Dehatma Buddhi, what comes then? Since the body is apurnam, because body is limited. Body is not infinite. Body is only 6 feet tall. It's not infinite. So because body is apurnam, once I identify with the body, I feel apurnatvam too. I feel I am not purnaha. Right? I feel I am also lacking. So, yatra ajnanam, tatra dehabhimanam, yatra dehabhimanam, tatra apurnatvam. There is no purnatvam there at all. So, bodily he is feeling limited, intellectually he is feeling limited, everything he is feeling limited. He is not feeling, all the limitations they come together. And once there is apurnatvam, once there is left, this thing fullness is not there, what is the consequence of that? I don't like apurnatvam, so what do? I try to gain purnatvam by acquiring things. That is how this happens. Once apurnatvam is there, I try to gain gain purnatvam by acquiring things, that's what karma. So yatra apurnatvam, tatra karma. So that is what desire comes. So ajnani is a dehabhimani, is apurnaha, then kamaka. You see how the equation is? Ajnani is dehabhimani, dehabhimani is apurnaha, apurnaha is kamaka. That is how you derive kamaka. So here kamakami refers to ajnani alone, so he does not know what is shanti about. Peace he does not know. If he has to be compared to something, Krishna does not say that here, jnani is compared to emotion, we can compare this kamakami or ajnani to maybe a well or a pond or as I told you, even dried up for some water, any one of those things. So that is the conclusion of Krishna, whereas jnani is like an ocean, a calm ocean. Vihaya kamanya sarvan.
Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Vihaya kamanya sarvan.
Umam charati nispruhaha.
Umam charati nispruhaha. Umam charati nispruhaha.
Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Umam charati nispruhaha.
Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Umam charati nispruhaha. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Umam charati nispruhaha.
Nirmamo nirahankaraha.
Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha.
Shanti madhi gacchati.
Shanti madhi gacchati. Sashantimadi gacchati.
Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Sashantimadi gacchati.
Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Sashantimadi gacchati. Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Sashantimadi gacchati.
So in this shloka, Krishna concludes the Siddha Prajna topic. This is like the Upasamhara shloka. We told earlier Upakrama and Upasamhara shloka. This is Upasamhara shloka. This is the conclusion. And what is the rule of Shastram? The Upasamhara shloka should contain the same subject as given in the Upakrama shloka. Whatever is given in the beginning should be only summarized in the Upasamhara shloka. Upakrama and Upasamhara should be the same. The beginning shloka and ending shloka. So wherever, whatever topic is given in the Upakrama shloka should be the same in the Upasamhara shloka. So what are the Upakrama shloka in this subject, the Prajna? 55th shloka. 55th shloka was what? Prajahaji yada kaman sarvan partha manogata. That was what he saw in the 55th shloka. The main sign of the Prajna is that sarvan kaman prajahaji. And here also Krishna says sarvan kaman vihaya. Prajahaji is now replaced by vihaya. That is the only difference. So Krishna is using the same terminology here. Sarvan kaman prajahati there, sarvan kaman vihaya here. Both are the same. So Siddha Prajna is one who gives up all desires, prajahati or vihaya, who gives up all desires. He does not know what is desire at all. That is what he is. So puman sarvan kaman prajahaya, prajahaya is vihaya, is prajaha charati. This person does not crave for fresh things also. He gives up all desires. All desires are gone. Okay, we have desire for fresh things. No, he has no desire for fresh things also. Spruha. Spruha means craving. He has no craving for any fresh new thing also. Whereas in our case, what we do? We give up the desire for what? But replaced by something else. I give up coffee, take the Coke. I need coffee somehow. Coffee I will give up. But the Coke is fine. Right? Or milk chocolate is fine. Coffee I am not taking. Milk chocolate is fine. So that is not. So the jnani, he has given up all desire, does not have any fresh desire also. That's what a jnani is. He does not even remember what he has given up. Jnani does not even remember what he has given up also, because he does not miss anything. Now for the ajnani, he might have given up coffee. But when there is fresh brewed coffee smell is there, oh, smells really good. The temptation is not gone yet. The temptation for coffee is still there. He has given up coffee, he's not drinking. But the temptation is not gone yet. So when there is an opportunity for us, for example, sometime, if he has to drink, he might drink. He might forget to start the coffee. Possible. I'm simply taking an example of coffee because it is a harmless example. You can have any example. For this kind of giving up. So renunciation without viveka, without understanding, is suppression. That is the difference between a jnani and an ajnani. When an ajnani gives up, He is giving up based on something, so he is trying to suppress the desire for that particular thing and cause it renunciation. Whereas the jnani, when he gives up, he is giving up out of viveka. He knows his happiness is not dependent on anything, he knows it completely. So viveka, it is because that vairagyam is viveka janyam, is born out of his viveka, his knowledge. Whereas for Nagyani, because it is not true, Viveka, he suppressed it, it is going to erupt elsewhere. So this is, so for the Jnani, it is not suppression, it is sublimation. It sublimes. It's gone completely. Whereas for Nagyani, it is suppression, it is going to, so his Vairagyam, Agnani's Vairagyam is never permanent, whereas Jnani's Vairagyam is never temporary. So Krishna says, Puman Nispriha Charati. This Jnani, he freely moves, charati, means he freely moves about in this world, not afraid of sense objects at all. Oh, if I go in that direction, oh, these people will be there, this kind of things will be there, they will divert my attention, I will be tempted. No. He is very free, he can move anywhere, because even if they try to tempt them, he knows, I am shut off. He won't even turn there. And even if he is turned there, it won't make any impact in his mind. He can freely move, he is the free man. All others, they may call free, they are not really free because they are all, they can succumb to temptations, whereas he is not. So he can freely move, Sarati. Then the question can come, then how can we renounce everything? He cannot renounce everything and move like that. Yes, there are basic necessities in life that you have to definitely have, right? Apart from living, what? We need minimum things. We need definitely a shelter, we need definitely clothes, we need food, all those things are needed. So, this minimum thing is also varies from people to people. One guy will say, one video is enough. I will be seeing it forever. One TV, one video is enough. One small flat. Small flat means what? Smallness is very, maybe 1,000 square feet, 1,500 square feet, no, don't know. Small flat, one car, maybe it's one of the, what is that? There is a three cylinder some car, small, the bus car is there. At least one car. So, varies from people to people, what is basic necessities? What you call it minimum, it is some minimum balance. See, if you won't put the specific amount, some, so that it can be any number, you can guess. So he has all these things as minimum requirements. Whereas Shankaracharya says, for a person caught, what is minimum is jivita yatra matram yet apekshita. For the sustenance of life, whatever is minimum required, that alone he can have. So aim is reduce the minimum as much as possible, reduce the minimum as much as possible. So, a jnani also may have a hut. He needs to stay in the state. He has a hut. He also will have padukas. He needs sandals to walk. And he also has a kaupina yugala. He needs some loin cloth to protect himself. So, all these things he has. So, for a sannyasi, certain minimum requirements are there. Right? For a grihastha, you can give some extension to that. It is only an extension. Not the entire thing has to be there. So, for a sannyasi, you need these things. For a grahastha, you can have some more extension to that. That's what you can have. Then what is that? What is with respect to the other possessions? Krishna gives the next advice here, nirmama. So whatever possession you have a grahastha, you can have all, whatever you do, you need a minimum needed. So that reduce the minimum as much as possible. And with respect to the minimum that you already have, what you should leave? The mind notion. For this sannyasi also, oh, this is my kamandalu, this is my, piksha patra, mine. Actually, the mine is a very beautiful word, what is mine in the defense technology, what is mine? Mine is always it explores, mine explores. The moment you have mine is always it explores. The mine, what about mamakara? The moment you have mine, it's ahankara and mamakara, always they will explore. So, I am making use of that, no problem. I am making use of them because as long as I live, I need basic necessities, I need these things, I make use of them. And after I keep them safely, I can give it to my next generation also. They can also make use of it. So making use of it is not a problem. But hoarding, acquiring, having desire and then having greed, they are all the problems. So nirmama, nirmamaha means mamakara vajjitaha asana. Mamakara vajjitaha asana, this is a mind notion should go away. So mind should not be there at all. And nirahankara, Shankaracharya writes, vidvata ahankara mapirina. He cannot even say, I am a sthira prajna, I am a jnani. No. He cannot even say that. He should even forget that. A jnani cannot even claim I am a jnani. Nirahankara. So actually when the, if there is a particular ritual called Viraja Homam, this is when somebody takes a sannyasi and all that. This Viraja Homam means without passion and all that thing, without life. That's a ritual. And there are so many things around, he is getting, asking to be purified in so many things, in all, you know, in the yagi, breeds, all the things. And there is one purification he is asking. Avyakta bhavera hankare jyoti rajam viraja kipatma bhuya sajya swaha. Avyakta bhavera hankare, it is the suppressed hankara. That is, I have no ego at all, sir. You don't have to say that. You have no ego. You don't have to claim that I don't have ego. So this is avyakta bhavera hankara. Even that should not be there. So that ahankara also should be gone. So no mamakara, no ahankara. That's what Krishna says. You should not have that thing. So why? Without the ahankara, that I am a wise man. Atma is neither jnani or ajnani. That you have to understand clearly. Jnani and ajnani for what? Not for atma. Is atma jnani? Is atma ajnani? No, atma is not jnani or atma. Atma is beyond that. It is with respect to the antakkaranam only. Jnani is at buddhi level. Jnana is at the buddhi level, right? So it is with respect to the antakarna. Antakarna is what? The inner equipment. Mind, buddhi, they are antakarna. So it is at the antakarna level. So the jnani does not identify even with jnanam. Jnani does not identify even with jnanam. So aham suddha chaitanyaka surupaha asmi. Suddha chaitanya surupaha asmi. Nirgunam, all those things, all the attributes that we have seen, all that thing should be there. So he doesn't even claim jnanam. So such a person who has minimum possession without ahankara, who does not have ego, even the jnanitvam, such a person, saha, shantim, adhigacchati. He attains shanti, he attains peace. When he attains peace, even when he is living, you cannot say, okay, you will get peace after somebody dies. Peace is guaranteed. No one needs to die. No use. You want to gain peace while living. So this person, he gets peace when living, so he becomes a jivan mukta. He gets jivan mukti while living. This person becomes free. He is liberated while living. Then till now, the description of Sthirapragna given was what? Jivan mukti. Now in the last shloka, Krishna is not only giving jivan mukti, he is talking about videha mukti also, after death. So now while he is living, he became jivan mukta, free. He is liberated now. Okay, when he dies, what will happen? Will he be born again? No. Once he becomes a jivan mukta, after death, he will never be born again. Videha mukta, he will not have another body to take at all. That is the last shloka.
Yesha brahmiyasthiti partha.
Yesha brahmiyasthiti partha. Yesha brahmiyasthiti partha.
Partha nai. Nainam prapya vimukhyati.
Nainam prapya vimukhyati. Nainam prapya vimukhyati.
Yesha brahmiya sthiti partha. Nainam prapya vimukhyati.
Yesha brahmiya sthiti partha. Nainam prapya vimukhyati. Yesha brahmiya sthiti partha. Nainam prapya vimukhyati.
Chitva syamanta kale bhim.
Brahma
nirvana mucchati.
Brahma nirvana mucchati. Brahma nirvana mucchati.
Chitva syamanta kale bhi. Brahma nirvana mucchati.
Chitva syamanta kale bhi. Brahma nirvana mucchati. Chitva syamanta kale bhi.
So the condition of Sthita Prajna, this Jivan Mukti Avastha, the state of Jivan Mukti, if Krishna gives a new title here, he calls it as Brahmi Sthiti. This Jivan Mukta Sthiti, he is calling it as Brahmi Sthiti, another name for Jivan Mukti, another name Brahmi Sthiti, which is another name for Sthita Prajna. Sthita Prajna, Sthita Prajna. You know the difference between Sthita Prajna and Sthita Prajna? Siddha Prajna is the name for the wisdom. Siddha Prajna. The name for the wisdom, that is Jivan Mukti, or Brahmi Sthiti, and Siddha Prajna is the Jivan Mukta, is the Jnani, is the person. Okay. So, in one case, it's a wise man, the other case, it's the wisdom. So why we call it Brahmi Sthiti, Krishna calls it Brahmi Sthiti? Because it is a state in which the mind of the jnani is ever established in Brahman. So it is Brahmi Sthiti, ever established in Brahman. So Brahmani Bhava, Brahmani Bhava, Bhava, Brahmani. So it is established in Brahman. So a state in which the mind of the jnani is established in Brahman. Who ever remembers that Aham Brahman, that is the jnani he has. So Shravana Kale, what the teacher says, what Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, it is at the time of Shravana, teacher says. And then I receive the wisdom, Aham Brahmasmi. But the problem is what? The moment I come out of the class, I forget that. That's what the problem is, right? So I set that thing aside and Aham Dehosmi, Aham Apurnahasmi, all those things they come. They come in front, forefront. So Anatma Buddhi comes again. So this is only prajna. So at Shravana Karam, whatever we get is just only knowledge, prajna. So in the case of the sthira prajna, Aham Brahmasmi is never forgotten. That person never forgets that at all. So this is called Brahmi Sthiti. Brahmi Sthiti is he never forgets that he is Brahma. Never getting astray from his swarupa, his nature, Brahma. So swarupa, the person is Pratyavati. Actually, we are going to discuss about detail later in the later chapters, but it is good to know that this person never forgets his swarupa. So once he is thoroughly established in his true nature, so yenam prapya, yenam prapya, yenam refers to Brahmi Sthiti prapya. Having attained this Brahmi Sthiti, having attained this Siddha Prajna, this Jivan Mukti, so yenam Brahmi Sthiti prapya, na vimuchyati. He does not get deluded at all anymore. Once having gained this status, he never gets deluded again at all. And what is delusion? Coming back to Dehatma Buddhi. He doesn't come back to the body consciousness at all anymore. He never comes back to that Buddhi. And what do we mean by that? If Jnani does not come to Dehatma Buddhi, then how he can do Vivahara? We have to understand that. Because Jnani, he is Jnani now. So we say he doesn't come back to the body notion. So if he doesn't come back to body notion, then how he can transact business in the practical world? Because he has to have the body notion to transact business with other people, with the world. So he has to have the consciousness at all. So what do we mean by that? So if Jnani does not come to Dehatma Buddhi, then what we really mean is, for example, when he eats, he has to have Dehatma Buddhi. Otherwise, he, instead of putting the food in the mouth, he put in the ears, right? Because consciousness has become the practical world he should live. So what do we mean by that? So Jnani does not come back seriously to Dehatma Buddhi anytime. He does not come back seriously. He knows it is only what? Yaveshaha. This is the name, form and action I have in this prarabdha, the exact prarabdha I have taken. That is a vesha only for me. It is like an actor going into the stage. When he goes into the stage, this actor, he may play the role of a beggar. And this beggar, you know, he will go beg, he will do this, all that thing as a beggar. But he is internally, all the time, he is conscious that he is a very famous actor. The better beggary he acts, more he is paid. He is a million-dollar beggar in this stage. But his efficiency as an actor is shown how he can associate himself to that role as a beggar. But all the time he is aware, does he think he is an actor, he is a beggar? No. He knows internally that subconsciously he is so and so, he is an actor. So Jnani also, when he transacts business in the real world, even though he may be putting all these veshas, transacting business with everybody in the same relative locomotion, no problem. All the time he knows, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Purnahasmi. This entire thing is only Nama Rupas. He knows all that. That is why King Janaka, even though he was a Brahma Jnani, he could transact the business of a king. He has to punish people where his crime is done. He has to reward people. He went through the entire locomotion of management. All that thing he did, even though he was a Brahma Jnani. He doesn't see distinction at all, Chaitanya-wise. But he saw Nama Rupa differences in practical way that should be dealt with. So that is what his Jnani does. So for him, this Dehatma Buddhi, he temporarily takes these roles. Okay, I am doing this now, I have to do this. That's what he does. Okay? So he comes to Dehatma Buddhi without losing the Brahmi Sthiti. The Brahma Buddhi, he doesn't lose. He purely for the sake of Vivahara, he assumes that role. Like what? As I told, like the actor playing the role on the stage, all the time he knows who is he, but he is playing only that role. He never forgets his original sarupam, he only plays the role. So, yena pratya na mukhyati, na vimukhyati. Means what? He does not mistake his role for his nature. He does not jnani, does not mistake his role in the practical world for his true nature. Like the actor not, you know, understanding his role as a beggar as his true nature. Not only that, kritva asya antakaleti. In the second line, Krishna talks about videha mukti. Videha mukti, the one after death. What happens to this person? He never gets born again, right? So Krishna talks about that stage here. Kritva asya antakaleti. What is that? Ye jivan muktaha, become ye videha muktaha also. So jivan muktaha, he gets jnanam in this life. And once he dies, that person becomes a videha muktaha, he will not take another birth at all. And what is videha mukti? Punar janma nasti. He will not get another janma at all. He will not be born again. After death, there is no punar janma. So when the prarabdha is over, this body falls. We already saw these discussions earlier. When the prarabdha is exhausted, this body falls. But there is no question of another body coming for this jnana. Why? The Satya Karma is burned, Agami Karma is distributed and destroyed, and the Prarabdha is exhausted. We went through all these discussions, so I can say these things freely. So that's what we have. So Punarjanma na vidyate. So this is called totally, permanently freed from body in this Janma and in Videha Mukti in the Janmas. There is no more Janma also. So a Jivan Muktaha, he attains Videha Mukti also at the time of death. So at the time before that, he is a Jivan Muktaha. At the time of death, he gains Videha Mukti also. So only a Jivan Mukta alone attains that. You have to understand that. Videha Mukti cannot be attained to anybody. A person who is a Jivan Mukta alone can attain Videha Mukti. Okay? Then the question may come. How long I should remain as a Jivan Mukta to gain Videha Mukti? Right? To attain Videha Mukti. How long should I remain as a Jivan Mukta? What is the minimum residency requirement? Right, you have to get citizenship, you have to be 5 years, you should be there. So 5 years minimum is required for somebody to get in, or if you want to be resident of some place, if you want to get the college admission, then you should be resident for two. So domicile all this, you know, we used to have in Bombay, they used to have domicile certificate you need for becoming a resident to offer. So what is the minimum requirement of residency to for somebody to be in Jivan Mukti to get Videha Mukti? That question might come. Krishna says, there is no question of how much time at all. Even if 1 second, if you are a Jivan Mukta, automatically you will be Videha Mukta. Even 1 second is enough. 1 second you realize Brahma, enough. One is got the, now the visa for Videha Mukti also. So even at the time of death, somebody is going to die now, next second. Even at the time of death, if a person gets Atmajnanam, enough. No problem at all, he is a Jivan Mukta. So at that moment, and then he will become Videha Mukta also. No problem at all. So Krishna says, Asyam. Asyam refers to this Jivan Mukti Avasthaya. Asyam. In the Jivan Mukti Avastha, Antakalepi Stitva. If he remain, even at the time of death, Antakalepi means Marnakalepi. At the time of Marnakala, at the time of death. Brahma Nirvanam means Videha Mukti. Brahma Nirvanam is Videha Mukti. Dissolution into Brahma. So that is Brahma Nirvanam. Becoming one with Brahma. That's what is Brahma Nirvanam. So Brahmani Layaha, Brahmani Layaha, Brahmana Aikya. That is, once you become one with Brahman, Ruchati, he attains, he gains that status. He attains Videha Mukti or oneness with Brahman, even if he attains Jivan Mukti at the time of death only. He was throughout the life, he was somebody else. Right at the time of death, this Dandan, Atma Jnana, Dandan, that's it. He becomes Videha Muktaha, that 1 second is enough. Then what will be our question? Then we will ask, why worry about this Jivan Mukti and all at the last time when I am going to breathe my last, then we can talk again. No problem. We have why struggle? No need for all these things. There is no need for any of us, right? No need to come to any classes and all that. No problem. Let us wait for the Jivan Mukti at the time of death. So, are you interested only in Videha Mukti will be the question next. You want Jivan Mukti at all or not? Videha Mukti alone is it enough? But what the question means? Do you want peace when you live or not? That is the next question. While living also you want to be peaceful and happy. who is going to say, I want to live unhappily all through my life to gain just vidya? You are not going to know anything afterwards, it's gone. While living, you want to be in peace. While living, we want to have shanti. While living, we want to be composed. So all we want to be integrated. We want to be while living. So we can never say, I will get peace of mind at the time of death, then you are gone. You should be peaceful once you live. So Shankaracharya says, even the last moment, if he accepts the person God Vijaya Mukti, what to talk about a person who got Jivan Mukti at a very young age itself? He will get shanti all the time. So at the time of the Vijaya Mukti itself, he is going to get permanent peace. So when he gets Jivan Mukti, even at an young age, what to talk about him? He will have permanent peace. He will have peace all the time. He will be ever shanti. He will have always integrated. So it is not just for postponing. One cannot say, I can postpone with him, no problem at all. One cannot postpone it at all. It is only a stuti. He says stuti. So Shankaracharya says, suhe stuyate. Stuyate means what? It's only for glorification. This is only for glorification of Jivan Mukti. The purpose is not for postponement of Jivan Mukti. It is only to glorify Jivan Mukti. Even if you become Jivan Mukta at the time of death, for even that 1 second is enough for somebody to become. So to glorify Jivan Mukti only it is said, it is not to postpone Jivan Mukta. So he becomes Jivan Muktaha and becomes Videha Muktaha also. He becomes, appears Jivan Mukti in this life, ever in peace and has no birth afterwards after he dies. So with this, the Sthita Prajna Lakshana is also concluded. So Arjuna's question also is completely answered, because that's what he asked. All those questions he asked, right? So his question also is completely answered by Krishna, and Krishna concludes with this, the second chapter teaching also. So he talked about Karma Yoga, he talked about the preparation, and he talked about Sankhya Yoga, he talked about Jnanam, and he also talked about Jnana Phalam and Moksha also. All these in this second chapter. We are going to see the elaborate summary of this chapter before we start the third chapter in the new year. ॐ तत्सदिति
श्रीमद्भगवद्गीतासु
उपनिषत्सु ब्रह्मविद्यायां
योगशास्त्रे
कृष्णार्जुनसंवादे
साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम
द्वितीयोऽध्यायः ॐ तत्सत् दट् इस् द एक्स्प्रेशन् इस् द एक्स्प्रेशन् आफ़् द ग्राटिट्यूड् टु द लार्ड् So, with this, the second chapter is concluded. The other details we have already seen for this sloka when we concluded the first chapter. So, only the difference is the Sankhya Yoga Nama is the Dhyayana, that is the only change. Whereas the other one was the Arjunushada Yoga. That is the only difference between that and this. All other things are all same. And this chapter is called the Sankhya Yoga, essentially between the slokas 12 to 25, which talks about, this is there is a Mukhya Amsha of this chapter. That is the Sankhya Yoga part. The slokas 12 to 25, even though he talked about Karma Yoga, he talked about all other things also. This is the Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga, which is covered in that. So the chapter itself is named Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Shri Krishna, Namastu Nara.